Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Hi and welcome to Kosher Cravings. So this afternoon we've got quite a nice show. Today we're diving into a topic that's hot on everyone's lips, quite literally. Sweetness, whether it's a spoonful of sugar in your tea, honey drizzled over breakfast, date syrup in a smoothie, or one of those many sugar-free alternatives lining the supermarket shelves, which are actually, I don't know what to choose. We're constantly making new choices on how to sweeten our foods and drinks. But are all these sweeteners created equal? Is honey really healthier than sugar? Does date syrup offer nutritional benefits? Are artificial and natural sugar substitutes a better option? Or is the answer more complicated than that? To help us separate fact from fiction, we'll be speaking to three experts and producers, I would say, of date syrup and honey, who actually know their sweetness, I hope, inside out. We'll also be talking to a dietitian from the CDE clinic, and we'll get all their input. And then, of course, I will be sharing some recipes with you using different kinds of sweeteners and ice creams, etc. So whether you're watching your sugar intake, looking for healthy alternatives, or simply curious about what makes food taste sweet and delicious, stay tuned. It's going to be fascinating and enlightening hearing from these three ladies.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
This is Kosher Cravings. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's Wife, and we are talking about sweetness. Perhaps we could have spoken about this just before Rosh Hashanah, but you know what? We're eating sugar every day, so let's start chatting. We're going to start off with honey. Now, honey is really a very common substitute for sugar. And what I found when doing a little research and chatting to people was that you're either a honey person or not. Honey in your tea, drizzle over your yogurt, honey in your cooking or baking, basically your sweetener of choice for everything. But there are those who only eat the pure raw stuff. You know, that like when you find it either with the honey, the comb in the middle, or the white raw honey. In fact, our home, I don't buy the honey because I'm not really a honey fundy, but my husband gets the real McCoy. Okay. It's obviously something that his father was so obsessed with honey. So I suppose it does depend on how you were brought up. So, I mean, it's just when you think about it, it's hard to believe that a tiny flying insect that sends us into an absolute panic, that we freeze and we try and flick it past us, is actually responsible for making one of the most delicious, sweet things on earth. Liquid gold, as they call it. So let's talk a bit about the benefits of honey. I spoke to a couple of the professionals, the Honey Association, from somebody from there, and they basically told me that honey is rich in antioxidants. It soothes coughs and helps to improve sleep quality. Oh, I need some honey. Can help nourish beneficial gut bacteria. It should actually help treating burns. And I remember this from the old days. My father-in-law said, as soon as we burnt ourselves, put some honey on it, because apparently it has antibacterial properties in it. So we put honey on the burns. It also provides a quick energy. Some sportsmen swear by it. And so do singers and public speakers. And maybe I should have had a teaspoon of it before I came on air. But honey also contains a small amounts of vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants, which the refined sugars actually lack. And it's still high in sugar and calories, but so is everything that we eat, and it's important to have it in moderation. And many people use honey as part of their skincare routine, including gorgeous Scarlett Johansson, and it has incredible moisturizing properties. But it's been used for centuries, and I believe it's good for dandruff as well. Prevents that, I suppose, because of its moisturizing qualities. So from Cleopatra to Hollywood stars, people have been putting honey on their skin for centuries. Is there real science to it? Or is it just a sticky mess? I don't know. But however, one big no-no is never give a child under one honey. I remember my father-in-law saying to me, put the dummy in the honey and give it to the baby. And when my pediatrician heard this, he nearly went crazy. Anyway, so while on the subject of never, just we can talk about xylitol a little later, but in case I forget, never, ever give a dog anything that has xylitol in it. You can actually, God forbid, hurt your dog for life. So many people swear by honey, but is the buzz justified, or are some of the claims too sweet to be true? There are so many chefs out there that actually use honey in most of their cooking, and I've actually got a honey recipe that I really wanted to share with you that I did over the weekend. And it is for a honey soy marinade for chicken. I suppose you could use it over fish, but this one is mainly for chicken. So it's very easy, actually. It's half a cup of soy sauce, 2/3 of a cup of honey. Not syrup, not anything else, just honey. 1/3 of a cup of rice vinegar and 1/4 of a cup of red Shabbos wine. 1 tablespoon of sesame oil and about 1.5 teaspoons of garlic. Depends, you know, on whether you like garlic or not. Now, always taste your marinades. You may find the Shabbos wine actually gives it that lovely rich darkness. The honey gives it that stickiness. The soya just cuts that sickly sweetness from the honey. And also, because we like hot things in our family, I add chili to mine. And then just put it over your chicken, marinate it for about 2 hours, and then I put it on the braai. You can cook it in the oven if you want to. And I used chicken breasts because the family love white meat. You can use chicken thighs, whatever you want to. But chicken thighs do take a little bit longer to cook on the braai, so you can put them in the oven, braai them, and then put them in the oven if you're worried that they're going to get a bit too dark on the braai. And then just decorate with a bit of chopped coriander and sesame seeds. You can actually put the chopped fresh coriander into the sauce as well, and let that marinate through your chicken. So one other thing that is a very common thing is our honey mustard salad dressing. And this is something that you make up. You can keep it for about 2 weeks in the fridge. And it's quite simple. It's 1/4 cup of Dijon mustard. Now, don't use, it's a ready-made Dijon mustard. Don't use the Dijon, the powder, or the mustard, you know, the Coleman's mustard powder. You've got to use a ready-made mustard. So it's 1/4 cup of your mustard, 1/4 cup of olive oil, 1/4 cup of apple cider vinegar, or you can use fresh lemon juice if you want to, 2 tablespoons of honey. You may need a little bit more, so add a little bit more honey if you want to. 1 small garlic clove, grated or minced, and then just to top it off, 1/4 cup of mayonnaise, and then you put, either use your immersion blender or whisk it all together very well, or stick it in a jar and just shake it up. And there you have a beautiful salad dressing with honey. After the break, we are going to come back. We are going to be talking to Colleen, who is our date syrup lady, and she's got a lot of lovely advice for us.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
This is Kosher Cravings. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's Wife, and we are talking about sweetness. On Friday night, I made the most wonderful, well, it went down so well, beautiful, like a nutty kind of Ceylan dressing. Okay, Ceylan syrup, for those who don't know, is actually date syrup.
For
broccoli and cauliflower. And I thought, no, I've got to speak to you. I've got to find out how date syrup is actually made. From fruit to finished product, tell us how it's done.
So date syrup is made with dates only. And if you look at Jewish tradition and religion and the Torah, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and they speak about honey, in ancient times, it was actually date honey or Ceylan that was used and not bees honey.
Right.
And so dates is one of the most ancient sweeteners in the world. And obviously in the Middle East, dates is everywhere. So we make our date syrup from fresh medjool sourced in South Africa. And you literally take the dates and you cook up the dates and you blend it. And then you sieve it through a very fine cloth to remove the liquid. And that actually holds all the fiber of the dates as well. And from there, you cook it down for almost 2 days to become a syrup. So if you've ever tried to make your own date syrup, you'd really appreciate what we do. And we are one of the few companies, or if not the only manufacturing company that I know of, that makes date syrup locally.
Oh, and what is the company called? For those who want to buy you're under the Beth Jenner.
We called Sweethearts.
Yes.
And the reason for the name is that dates are sweet and they're so good for your heart as well.
Ah, okay.
So that's what we called. And we don't only make date syrup. We also do a range of chocolates and medjool dates filled with nut butters. And they're all coated in a sugar-free, dairy-free dark chocolate, which makes it the ideal dessert for after a Shabbos dinner.
Right. Now, the date syrup do to the blood sugars? I'm talking about people that are out there that are diabetic and you know, have to be concerned about sugar rushes and things like that. So what is the story there?
So you can actually find our products at the Diabetic Center in Houghton as well.
Ah, okay.
So they've given the date syrup the thumbs up.
Yes.
And why it's so different is because it's slow releasing energy. So any other sweetener like honey or maple syrup or obviously sugar, it spikes your blood sugar, whereas date syrup keeps it regular. It doesn't give you that crash or that spike, but obviously also all in moderation.
Of course.
So even though it doesn't spike your blood sugar, you can't go and finish your entire squeezy bottle of date syrup. That's also not a good thing. But, it's perfect. If you're type 2 diabetic, you can have a bit in your tea or your coffee or on your oats or your yogurt.
Right. And I would, from what you're saying, I mean, the global demand for natural sweeteners has definitely changed the date industry, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. So dates has become a very trendy product at the moment.
Yes.
The price is skyrocketing because of the demand worldwide. And it's just such a healthier alternative. It's sort of one of the best natural sweeteners that you can have and the most ancient natural sweeteners that you can have in the world.
So what would make a high quality syrup? I mean, I know yours is high quality, but what would the lower grade qualities, would they put in water? Would they add syrups, other syrups to it? Would they add sugar?
Yeah, so I've seen some date syrups on the shelf where they use date extracts, not real dates.
Uh-huh.
I've seen ones where they'll use 60% cane sugar and 40% dates. So it's very important to read the labels.
Yes.
And ours is made of 100% dates only. And you obviously use the water to extract and to create the syrup. But ours is very high in dates only.
Okay, good to know. Yeah. So now I've got to ask you something. If dates were competing against honey and sugar in a beauty pageant of sweeteners, what would win? Would dates win?
Well, dates would win on top of the list,
right?
Because of the fact that it is low GI, it is slow releasing energy. So the way your body reacts to cane sugar or normal bee's honey, it will react in the same way. And then just a fun fact.
Yes.
The production of honey has dropped in the world. But yet, the demand has increased and the consumption has increased more than the actual production, which means a lot of honey on the shelves at the moment actually contain glucose.
Ah.
So I'm sure, you know, raw honey's got a lot of benefits, but it still spikes your blood sugar, and whereas dates doesn't.
Right.
So just also another thing to look at if you do prefer honey is just to double check that it's proper, real honey.
Yes, of course.
And yeah, and I know there are tests that you can do to double check if the honey is real or not. I know it's something about water, and if you drop it in water, it should sort of go down to the bottom. It shouldn't. Okay. It shouldn't mix with the water.
So somebody said to me on Friday night, I said, oh, I'm going to be speaking about dates. And that's why I've included this lovely recipe with this date syrup in it. And they said, oh, it's so boring. I mean, dates are so boring. I said, wait until you have the dessert and then you'll tell me how boring it is. So I made a sticky date pudding with a... And it took back
so one of my, one of my favorite recipes to make with the date syrup is actually pumpkin pie.
Oh, that's very big in America in November.
Yes, and then you drizzle the date syrup on the top with some cinnamon, and it's absolutely divine. So it gives you that nice rich... The rich caramel flavor of the date syrup.
Right, which would be better than the brown sugar that we normally use and just regular syrup or honey. And any strange or weird and wonderful things that people have said to you about your date syrup? Do they use it as facials? What else can you use this fantastic syrup for? I know in the olden times, they used to use a lot of date syrup on their faces and on their hands,
It's so funny you mention that because my weird and wonderful thing that I do once every 2 weeks is I do a date syrup facial mask. I take a teaspoon of date syrup and a teaspoon of turmeric and I mix that up and I put that on my skin, and it gives you a beautiful glow and exfoliation. And then while I've got that sitting on my skin, I make myself the most lovely turmeric latte using date syrup in it as well.
Oh, okay. I'm going to be giving a couple of recipes out later with date syrup. I do know that people keep talking about shots. Oh, you need a shot of this and you need a shot of that. Date syrup and turmeric and ginger, and you just glug it down. What do you have to say?
It's amazing. It's amazing. Really? Squeeze of lemon, little bit of cayenne pepper, do that shot. Yes. And now, especially in winter, it's absolutely amazing. It's really, and it actually tastes quite good as well.
And what do you put, a little bit of tea in it, or what do you do? Just boiling water?
No, I'm just with squeeze of lemon juice, no water.
Yes.
Squeeze of lemon juice, 2 teaspoons of date syrup, little bit of turmeric, a little bit of cayenne pepper. Give that a mix and shot that down, and it actually tastes very, very pleasant, really nice.
It does. It certainly does on our beautiful, on cakes and on our vegetables and our salads.
Date syrup is not only for sweet dishes,
yes,
but it works exceptionally well in all your savory dishes as well.
Yes.
I'm sure you do an amazing salad dressing with date syrup. I'm sure I've seen it somewhere.
No, I haven't done it with date syrup yet. Yeah, that's something I also wanted to ask you. You know, if somebody says that, for argument's sake, that the salad dressing is sugar-free, does that mean that it can contain date sugar or honey or a natural sort of sweetener? Or is it
if you use the word sugar-free, that means it cannot contain any form of sugar. So date syrup is still a sugar, a natural sugar, and so is honey. So you have to use the words no added sugar, and that would mean that there's no cane sugar in it.
Oh, okay. So wording is very important.
Yeah.
And because, you know, so many people, somebody came up to me the other day and she said to me, you know, those all beef sausages at Woolworths, they've got pork in them. I said, I know, because apparently, according to some law, I don't know how far back it goes, if you have 10% of, you can have it 90% beef and 10% pork or 10% something else, and it can still be classed as beef. I don't know how true this is, but that's what I believe.
Anyway, my word, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
Something I also picked up, Sharon, is, you know, sardines are trending.
Yes.
And a lot of the companies are putting huge on in the front, made with olive oil.
Yes.
But when you read the ingredients on the label, it's actually made with like 2% and the rest is seed oils.
Uh-huh. You see?
Yeah.
You've got to read
labels.
We have to read
our labels, yeah.
Okay, so,
and also, they charge you so much more for it, claiming that there's olive oil in, but it's actually like the olive seed blend and it's not real cold press olive oil in it.
Right. So if I want to make a sugar-free salad dressing, I'd have to use xylitol or something like that, which is sugar-free, correct?
Yeah. So if you want to do like a completely sugar-free Banting keto version, then you're going to use one of the sugar alcohols. But if you just want a no added sugar, which date syrup will be your best option, then you can go with date syrup because it's also slow releasing energy. So it's not going to spike your blood sugar level.
Okay, brilliant. Well, I think that sort of sums it up. As I say, I will be sharing some recipes, dates, and those plump, beautiful dates that we can get now. And thank you for joining me. It was wonderful to talk to you, Michelle. If anybody wants to get in touch with you, how would they do it?
So they can go to our website, and that is msweethearts.co.za. You can also find all our products in your local Jewish stores like Kosher World, Moishe's, Where else are we? Those two are like our biggest customers.
Okay.
And we at DJs, you can find our chocolate dates there.
Yes, and I saw them some also at Fresh Fillers. I saw your stuff. And
It's not at Fresh Fillers. Oh. It's at it's mainly Kosher World, Moishe's, DJs, but okay. Kosher World and Moishe's stock the date syrup, and then we're at places like Pantry, Faithful to Nature. We're in 100 stores around the country. We're in many stores in Sea Point, Cape Town, on the Wineland.
So there's no excuse. Yeah. You can use the wonderful Sweethearts date syrup.
Yes.
Okay, thank you for joining me, Michelle.
Sharon, thank you so much. Okay, oh, and by the way, we're also in the Checkers stores, where you can find your date syrup at the Checkers stores on the kosher aisle.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, Sharon. It was really nice to catch up. Good. Thank you.
Okay. So as promised, I'm going to share a lovely recipe for health bars. I know that some people will say, I don't know if it's a healthy churn, but I'm going to use you can either use honey or you can use date syrup. So you will need 1.5 cups of rolled oats. Not the oats are easy, not the one that you can make in a packet quickly. It's that nice old fashioned rolled oats. 1 cup of chopped walnuts. 1/2 cup of sliced almonds, or you can have the slivered almonds. Getting tongue-tied with my S's here. 2/3 cup of desiccated coconut. 1/2 cup of honey or the Ceylan date syrup. 3 tablespoons of sticky brown sugar. Pack it nicely into the tablespoon. 2 tablespoons of butter. Or you can use coconut oil, as I did, and it worked just as well. 1.5 teaspoons of vanilla extract. 1/4 teaspoon of salt. And 1 cup of Rice Krispies. And 3/4 cup of dried fruit. So you can use cranberries, apricots. But dried blueberries, I wouldn't use anything fresh because then it's going to go off. You can use raisins, just nice dried fruit, apples if you want. And then what you can do is, first of all, start off by preheating your oven to 180. And this is quite important because I found to get that nice crispness into your health bar, you need to do this first. You spread the oats, the walnuts, the almonds on a lined baking sheet. Spray the baking paper as well on the baking sheet, and you toast it just on 180 for about 7 to 10 minutes. Just keep watching it because you don't want it to burn. The minute it burns, it's really going to give your health bars not a nice taste. Then add the shredded coconut to that, toss it up, okay, and put it back into the oven for about 3 or 4 minutes. And keep a close look at this and take the coconut out and then take the whole tray out and allow it to cool and allow it to crisp up. In the meanwhile, what you do is you make the honey or the Ceylan date mixture while the oats is toasting or cooling off, and you just put all the, you put the butter, let's see, but all the wet things, the butter, the honey, or the coconut oil if you want to keep it parve, vanilla extract, and that little pinch of salt. You can add a pinch of cinnamon if you want to as well. Melt that all together and whisk it and bring it to a rapid boil, and then you switch it off. And then once the oats is cooled down a bit, then you pour the honey mixture into the oats and the in a bowl, mix it all together with the Rice Krispies, which gives it that lovely crunch. That's the secret. It's the Rice Krispies. And you transfer this mixture back onto a foil-lined baking dish and pat it down in the baking dish, and you bake it for about 20 to 25 minutes until it's slightly golden. So you smoosh it down, as they say, with the back of a spoon, and then you let it, take it out after about 20 to 25 minutes, and you let it cool completely. Now, I was told that you cut it once it's cooled. I actually cut it after about half an hour with a sharp knife, and I cut it up into little squares, and you can actually freeze it and take them out, and they defrost quite quickly, or you can just leave it up to about a week in an airtight container. And that's the story of the lovely health bars.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Michelle, I'm so confused between natural sugars and unnatural sugars and this and xylitol and that and whatever.
Yeah.
And so I thought, no, I've got to come to the specialist. I've got to speak to the lady who knows. And just tell me one thing. Is sugar really the villain that it's made out to be?
I mean, we eat a lot of processed food generally, you know. It's too available. We live in an obesogenic environment, so we are surrounded by food that is full of sugar.
Yes.
But I don't think it's completely the villain that it's made out to be if we have it in small amounts. And look at the rest of our diet and the foundation of our diet. You know, as long as we're having a lot of unprocessed food, a small amount of sugar can fit.
Right.
And it all depends on the person living with diabetes, what their glucose levels are doing. Yes. What medication they're on. There's so many factors to consider.
I know. We could
It's not just to say sugar is out.
We could have a whole show on this, but we haven't got that much time. So why is it that we crave sweets so much? And sweet food. I don't know. Every time I have something savory, I need something sweet.
I think part of it is habit. You know, we've got used to doing that. And I think there's also a little bit of a genetic tendency to crave. Some people crave sweeter things than others. Some people crave more savory things. So I think there is that. But I think, we just get used to it. We've got used to it. So when you go from a high sugar intake to a low sugar intake, it feels strange.
Right.
It feels like it's not enough, you know?
Yes. So somebody who wants to cut down on sugar, where do you suggest that they start? We've been talking to some.
I mean, I would say with your sugar sweetened beverages. So
right.
That's one place to start, because many people drink their sugar. So in the form of fruit juices, sugar sweetened drinks like your fizzy drinks, and then also your sweetened coffees and lattes and all of those with, you know, they've got extra syrups, which are obviously very sweet.
Right.
And not only are they drinking a lot of sugar, they're drinking just a lot of calories, you know.
Yes.
So I think a good place to start is by looking at their drinks.
Okay.
And then you can probably look at what they're adding to their food.
Right.
In terms of sugar.
And out of honey and date syrup, what do you feel about that?
Yeah, so date syrup, pomegranate syrup, honey, agave, they're all fundamentally similar to sugar.
Right.
They're all sugars, really.
Right.
They may differ slightly in their sweetness levels, and their glycemic index and their concentration, but at the end of the day, they're still going to get in there, and they still are sugar.
But if they're not diabetic, then have it in small doses.
Have it in small doses. Yeah.
Okay.
They're known as what are called free sugars. You know, so those are the sugars that we need to cut back on. They're not known as intrinsic sugars, which are actually found naturally inside fruit, vegetables, and dairy.
Okay, and you were actually you were saying the other day that the sugar is hidden in so many things. I mean, you were talking about flour, for argument's sake.
I think, you know, when people substitute sugar with artificial sweeteners in cooking and baking, I think they're not always aware that the actual recipe that they're making contains flour, and that itself will turn into glucose and raise blood glucose levels. So it's not to say that by changing the type of sugar, it's not going to affect your sugar at all. It still will. And this is why we don't generally recommend sugar-free products, because they're not carbohydrate-free. So people just need to be aware of that.
Yes.
They may be sugar-free, but they're not carbohydrate-free.
So what kind of flour would you suggest that we start using instead of white flour?
I mean, if you really wanted to go totally low or no carb, you could use an almond flour or a coconut flour. Or just have smaller portions of the regular version, you know, or use smaller amounts of sugar.
Right.
Or bake with a bit of sweetener, you know, an artificial sweetener if needs be.
And just quickly, I'm just thinking aloud here, but while we're talking about sugars, what is brown sugar healthier, so to speak, in inverted commas, than white sugar?
No. Sugar is sugar. Brown is sugar. Brown and white sugar are exactly the same.
Okay.
It still has the same effect. So is honey, syrup, all of those things the same.
Right. And agave syrup, I mean, if we're going to use syrup, would you say perhaps agave syrup would be a better choice?
No, it's similar to all the others. Date syrup, pomegranate syrup, honey. It's very similar. It falls in the same category.
Okay.
Fundamentally similar to sugar or sucrose as we know it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me, what is the biggest misconception people have about sweeteners? Why are people so nervous to use xylitol and stuff like that? What's in it?
I think there's a lot of scaremongering out there. You always hear people, and a lot of my patients say they're scared of aspartame.
Yes.
But aspartame is actually an amino acid, but obviously it's been chemically manufactured. So aspartame is one of the sweeteners that fits into the category of a non-nutritive sweetener, meaning it won't affect glucose levels. And actually many of these sweeteners are actually, you know, they've got established safety data for use within established acceptable daily intakes, and it's actually quite difficult to exceed the daily intake for certain sweeteners like aspartame. So for an average adult, you would have to consume more than 12 cans of a diet fizzy drink, you know, and I mean not many people do that. So I think you're still going to get more benefit from having an artificially sweetened drink versus a sugar containing drink.
Right.
So I think the scaremongering is a bit gone a bit mad. And then xylitol and anything that ends in OL, so your xylitol, your sorbitol and your maltitol and those kind of things, those are known as nutritive sweeteners. So they're called sugar alcohols or polyols.
Right.
Which you might see on a label.
Yes.
They also have very minimal effect on the sugar, but they do have some effect. It's a very slow effect. It happens quite slowly over a couple of hours. The only drawback to those sweeteners is that they do have a laxative effect in larger quantities.
Right.
So they may not be suitable for some people with IBS or,
So if I go and make a cake, I would put in xylitol because my husband's diabetic. I put in xylitol, but I've got to make sure that the toilets are clear.
I mean, it's
where
don't
does
love
xylitol
this
actually come from? Does somebody told me from a bark of a tree or from corn?
Gosh, I'm not actually sure to be honest. It's actually just a sugar alcohol manufactured. They use it a lot in South Africa.
Yes,
it's in most of your sugar-free in inverted commas products.
Yes.
So we often have people saying, I had a whole packet of sugar-free sweets and, they ended up with a stomach problem. So, we would recommend that very, very cautiously.
Okay. And most chewing gums have got, xylitol in them? Or
they've got some kind of sweetener. Yeah, you use xylitol.
Is it true?
That's fine.
I mean, I remember our mothers always say, stop chewing gum. You're going to get hungry. Is that true? Does it work up those gastric
Not really. I mean, you can swallow air. It's called aerophagia, where you actually just swallow air. It's possible that can happen, but it shouldn't really cause an increase in hunger.
Now, these diabetic chocolates.
Yeah.
Can we eat them by the hundreds?
No. So again, they take the sugar out, but they're still high in fat and they're still high in calories.
Yes.
You know, so they're not very different from the regular version.
Okay. And, yeah, so, and the biscuits.
So they just mark. Yeah, the biscuits as well. If you look at the label on a. Yeah, it's the same story. So just with the chocolates, they may not have such an effect on the sugar, but they're still going to have the high fat, high calorie. But the sugar-free biscuits, they you'll see on the label will say no sugar or less sugar. But the carbohydrate, the actual total carbohydrate, which is what we mainly look at, is what has the biggest impact on blood glucose levels. And actually, if you compare a sugar-free biscuit with a regular biscuit, I'm not saying go and eat regular biscuits, but they're actually not, there's not much difference. You know, so I think people just need to be aware that eating these things, they're not going to not have an effect, you know.
Which is not to split on my husband, but he was eating some biscuits the other day. And he said, but they're diabetic, they're fine. I said, compare. You know, you've got to read ingredients.
Yeah, you've got to read labels. Your labels tell you. I often see patients after I've just told them. I see them walking out with a whole bag of them.
So now, what is the recommended? And I remember it was anything over 5 grams of sugar.
Yeah.
Is that not recommended?
Generally, what's considered low is 5 grams or less per 100 grams of product.
Per 100 gram. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But we've got to remember that we're not talking about everybody out there has diabetes. So, but we still have to be very aware because sugar's
in everything, actually. Yeah. You know, it's very difficult to completely avoid it.
Correct. Well, I think unfortunately our time is up. I would have loved to have spoken to you a lot more, but maybe, I'll get hold of you again. But if people want to get hold of you, they can contact the Diabetic Clinic, correct? And your name is Michelle Daniels, and thank you for joining us, Michelle.
Pleasure.
Okay.
Thanks, Sharon.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome back to Kosher Cravings. I'm Sharon Lurie, and I'm going to be sharing a lovely recipe with you. It's an apple honey muffin recipe, and we will need, I'm going to post it up on the site so you'll be able to get it together with a sticky date pudding. But here's a nice sort of inverted commas healthy version of a honey bran and apple muffin. One and a half cups whole wheat flour. These are all the dry ingredients. 1.5 cups whole wheat flour. 1 cup of bran, the regular bran that you can buy, wheat bran. 1 teaspoon baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of bicarbonate of soda, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon. Now, here we can use 1/3 cup of honey, or you can use your date syrup, or if you really want to watch those kilos, you can use xylitol, the powdered form of xylitol, 1/3 cup. You'll also need 1/3 cup of unsweetened applesauce, 1/3 cup of coconut oil. If you haven't got coconut oil, you can use avocado. I have used that once before and it was perfect. 1 large egg, room temperature, and 1/2 cup of milk if you want, or almond milk or coconut milk. 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, vanilla essence, and about 3/4 cup of raisins. I put more in, but we love our raisins in our family. And then what we do is we preheat our oven to 170 and we line 12 a muffin tray with 12 inserts, and you can put 12 little paper liners in the muffin tray, and then we combine in a medium-sized bowl, we whisk together or spoon together the whole wheat flour, the bran, the baking powder, the soda, bicarbonate of soda, the salt and cinnamon until it's well combined. Then that's all our dry ingredients in one bowl. And then we mix together in another bowl your honey, your apple sauce, your oil, your egg, milk and vanilla, and whisk it all together and make well in the middle of your dry ingredients. Pour it in and just mix it until everything comes together. Mix it with a wooden spoon or a spatula, and then you divide the batter evenly among the 12 muffin cups, and you bake it for about 18 to 22 minutes or until the toothpick inserted comes out clean, and you allow them to cool. And these are just delicious. You know, when kids on the go early in the morning, just give them a little bran muffin to have on the bus or to have in the car, if people don't mind eating in the car. So as I said, today we're really diving into the topic of sweetness, and I hope that the bee, honey, date syrup, xylitol, diabetic clinic help you decide where you want to cut down on your sweetness and how you want to cut down on it. So I say goodbye. Thank you for joining me, and I hope it's a sweet and lovely day for you. Thank you for all the help, guys, around me. We had Vuzzy, I had everybody helping me. Thank you to Craig. Have a lovely afternoon.